What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Two Woke Nerds podcast. I am your host, Raymond Summerlin, and I am joined, as I am every week, by my very good friend, my very own chocolate bear, Mr. Gerald Goodridge. What's up, G?
Not too much, man. Just really coming off of a high of another fantastic Netflix trailer. The Luke Cage trailer was awesome, and they gave you a brief shot of him in his original tiara and silver wristbands, which was something that they're like, hey, nerds, this really does look ridiculous, but you can have it for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It was great.
You really wanted us to talk about that tonight, and so you fit it in there. Like, you weren't taking no for an answer.
I almost told you that I was going to do that as my opener, but I just was going to let it slide.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. It didn't look much different than what we saw at Comic-Con, in kind of my opinion. But yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was okay. I'm looking forward to it. Like, nothing that could have happened there would have changed my opinion on looking forward to it, especially after I just finished another wonderful Netflix show that I know that you are halfway through. We're going to talk about next week, Stranger Things.
That's what we call
a tease.
That is
might
a tease.
might be a little late on it, but look forward to it, because I know it's a show I like, and I'm really interested to talk about it. But this week, because of my professional life kicking back into high gear over the last week, and your former professional life in kind of lieu of those things, we are going to talk about sports movies, which are something that I absolutely adore. I imagine you do as well.
Absolutely.
And talk about our favorite sports movies. But before we get to that, we'll start the show like we always do with a little bit of news. And speaking of trailers, there's this little movie. It's kind of an indie flick. It's called Rogue One. You might have heard of it. They came out with a brand new trailer. It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds long,
yeah,
right?
It's a big chunk.
Long trailer. And it looks fabulous. What are some of your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think fabulous is the way to say it. I really like the look that they've got, the aesthetic. I love Forrest Whitaker opening it. I think Saw Gerrera is going to be an awesome character. And Saw Gerrera really... that character highlights one of my favorite undertones that's always in Star Wars, is that story of, you know, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. If you read some of the stuff that Saw Gerrera did in the Clone Wars TV show, dude's like a straight up like terrorist, like on par of things that we see in the news nowadays. So I love that. I like that we got a little bit of the talking droid. Any Alan Tudyk is good Alan Tudyk, so very excited about that. And again, I love that they don't give you much of the story, which is what these Star Wars trailers are doing so well. They give you a big picture of the world. They give you a big picture of what they're doing, the world they're trying to build, but they don't tell you, okay, here are the story beats, and here's what's going to happen, and here's why you should come see it. They're like, no. It's Star Wars. You want to see this? It doesn't matter what the story is. And we can talk story if we want to go moderate spoilers as to why the planet is important. We can leave that on the table. But yeah, I'm super excited. I think it's going to be fantastic. Again, I'm a little leery of Diego Luna for the first time in my life. I think he comes off kind of flat in these trailers a little bit, but I think maybe that's the character. But I think, again, I can't see it. We'll make a call on it until I see it on the big screen.
So I actually have a question for you, because I'm not as steeped in Star Wars lore mm-hmm. as you are, and I think that that's not a controversial statement in any way. But who's old dude with the stick? I love old dude with the stick. Me and old dude with the stick can hang anytime. That dude's awesome.
I need to look up the character name. I wasn't ready for you to put me on.
I'm sorry.
You're fine.
But that dude, like, when he just starts laying people out with a stick, I was like, sold.
Yeah.
We'll do with a stick. Like, you could ride with me any day. We're in.
Well, and that's one of the things that I'm like, Donnie Yen is playing, who's a world-class martial artist. If you've seen Ip Man 1, 2, 3, or 9, then you know.
They
made 3 and then a prequel not starring Donnie Yen, which was weird.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
But no, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, because it's got like 3 different accents on it and too many consonants. But Chirrut Imwe, I think is what we're going with. But he's kind of like your blind swordsman that you see in old Japanese films.
And so I'm going to assume that he is a Jedi. Heading out.
Well, I don't think he's a Jedi per se. That's something that they've said pretty vehemently, is that there are no Jedi in this film that are going to come save the day. And so, big spoiler alert on this, the planet that, like, just kind of giving you the broad thing, the planet that they're on and the planet that they're defending, the reason why the Empire is so hot and heavy there is because there is a, this is going to get super nerdy, there's a big, big mine of kyber crystals. And the kyber crystals are the crystals that both power the super laser in the Death Star and what the Jedi use to power and construct their lightsabers. And so the thing is, like, it seems to be like there's going to be these people on this planet that aren't Force sensitive, but are very reverent to the Jedi and very cognizant of the Force.
That mountaintop castle, basically, that city that they keep showing almost looks like a temple. And yep. So what I was kind of taking out of it is that that's a Jedi temple of some kind, or at least a reverent, a holy place of some kind for the Jedi. Is that correct? Or do you know?
I intentionally try to insulate myself from a lot of the spoilers, but it wouldn't be super out of character for what they're doing for that time period. And really anything in the prequels, Lucasfilm or Disney is doing now, because you saw it in Rebels where they had to go to a temple to get a kyber crystal. There was a whole arc in the Clone Wars about Yoda taking some younglings to a temple on a planet that was hot and heavy with kyber crystals to get crystals for their lightsabers. So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary. It wouldn't be out of canon. It wouldn't be anything far off in the distance. And I think the fact that Vader's presence there may lend a little bit more credence to that in my mind, because Vader's whole thing between 3 and 4 is hunting down the rogue Jedi. So what better place to find Jedi that you're looking for than to camp out on a place they need to go to get their crystals? Just chill there and straight up murder them, because Vader murders kids in that whole time frame.
So a couple things that I thought of as I was watching this, because it seems like some characters are coming back. The tall, super tall, skinny woman.
Mon Mothma?
Yeah, who was with, she spent time with Padme, right? And she was in A New Hope, as I recall.
She was
it was the
Empire.
Same character.
Or, I'm sorry, Return of the Jedi.
Oh, she's in Return, that's right.
She's
oh, yeah,
Jedi.
She's the one that says, many, what, Bonfin?
Many,
is that what
many Bothans died Bothans. To bring yeah, us that was this her. Information.
Yeah. Yeah, that was her. So there are going to be characters coming back. So I have some hopes.
Yep.
I hope Jar Jar comes back for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, I want to see fanboys cry in a theater, and I think that would be really fun. And two is I'd like to see him die on camera. Are those two things that I could see happen?
I don't know in this, but if you've been on Reddit lately, Darth Jar Jar is a thing that Reddit is trying to make happen.
So that theory is one of my favorite theories. There, along with Varys being a merman, Jar Jar as a Sith Lord is one of my favorite tinfoil theories of all time.
Yeah, it's the best. If you want, like, the whole, like, drunken boxing thing and him showing athletic, it's fantastic. Jar Jar is Snoke is the latest theory that I've seen going up, which is going to be amazing.
They, on the video where they try to explain that he's a Sith Lord, they show him dropping off of a balcony like 1,000 times. It's like the Zapruder film in JFK. it's like
slow down,
do you
slow
see
down.
Him force jump? Force jump. They show it like 1,000 times.
He lands in a different spot, and it's not saying that this is poor filmmaking and bad eye to attention for detail, like was probably the problem in the prequels. Yeah. But Jar Jar is a secret Sith Lord.
I want it to be true. I want it. If Varys is a merman and Jar Jar is a Sith Lord, my fantasy world will be complete. I can tell you that.
And they all live in a glass house with Lili Sobieski.
Oh, Lili. What's she doing lately? I'll give her a call. It's about time I send her a check.
$5. Ready to go, Lily.
So, moving on to another Star Wars. We're rife with Star Wars. This one is one I made a note, and I'll tell you what the note is after I said it. I made a single note about this. So, the news is that Donald Glover of Community fame and obviously Childish Gambino is the first choice to play Lando in the Han Solo spinoff. My only note, yes.
How many A's was that? Was that 6 or 7?
Yes.
No. So, like, on this, the, like, I thought the big news of that day when this news broke was going to be, they confirmed that Lando's going to be in this film. But then, like, 3 hours later, I saw this report, and I was like, what? Like, any Donald Glover, I said this, any Donald Glover is good Donald Glover in my mind. Like, I remember when he started rapping and he put out his first mixtape when he was on Community, and I was like, man, this guy is he going to be the greatest rapper actor or actor rapper? It's not a whole lot of competition.
Big Willie, baby.
I mean, you could say Ice Cube at some point, but were the two phases distinct enough that Raymond's shaking his head?
Ice Cube is a former rapper who is currently acting.
Okay. I think that's a good distinction to make. We'll talk more about distinctions and splitting hairs when we get to our sports movie discussion. So I think Donald Glover is one of those guys that I think he just does what interests him at the moment. And so maybe this will interest him. I think he's a heck of an actor. I mean, we see him do, he can do comedy. He can do, you know, kind of straight. You know, he's got this this new FX series coming out about Atlanta. I have zero clue what it's about. I'm assuming it's him trying to be an up-and-coming musician in Atlanta is what I'm guessing.
That's what I gained out of it. I've watched a few of the trailers, is that he's it seems like he's in the music business, but he's not a musician.
Like a promoter.
He's like a promoter or an agent or something like that, and he's trying to raise a family. And that was one of the things when I was looking at it, I mean, he was in The Martian, but he played like a mad scientist who was essentially comic relief. Like, it wasn't a serious kind of thing. I don't remember seeing him in anything particularly serious, but it looks like he is spreading those wings a little bit in Atlanta, just from what I saw in the previews. So maybe this is something that he's interested in doing. I'm not sure. I have no idea. Obviously, I'm not Donald Glover. Although you think that if I were to write rhymes, it would be very similar to Donald Glover.
I mean, I think you're fresh to death. You keep your swag in a coffin. but that's
neither here nor there. All I need is a torn white t-shirt. I'm on it, baby.
I think it's good.
But yeah, so I don't know if that's something he's interested in kind of tackling. Yeah. But it seems like Atlanta is at least has those kind of lines that run through it. Absolutely. And so maybe it is something he's interested in doing. I guess the bigger question is, does he have time? Right? So he's doing Atlanta, he's got his music, he's doing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Does he have time to do this?
I think the Spider-Man thing is going to wrap here pretty quick. And I think it honestly, and this is going to sound that Disney can write you a pretty big check. I think the Disney pockets are super deep. And most times when they want somebody for something and they go after them for something, they're going to get them because they're going to be like, how many zeros do I need to put on this check? Because I want you. I think you're the perfect person. And I think if they think Donald Glover is the perfect person, which I think he definitely could be. I mean, I think the two things you need for Lando are comedic timing and suave. And I think those are two things that Donald Glover has in spades. You could see some of that in just his personality. So I think those are the two real things. I don't know if he can grow a mustache. I've never, you know, other than that Photoshopped image we passed around our group text earlier this week. No, I would definitely be interested in seeing him because, again, I love me some Donald Glover. I think it's fit. If it's the right guy, Disney's going to write a big enough check and lock him in for a couple films. I just hope that we see the infamous Sabacc game where Han loses the Millennium Falcon to Lando, or vice versa, where Lando loses it to Han, excuse me. I would love to see that.
That'd be a good beginning point of the movie.
I think it'd be great. Even if you get him for just a scene and he flips the Sabacc table and he calls him a no good dirty swindler and walks away, I'm down the clown. Let's do it.
So moving off of Star Wars into our other favorite topic to talk about, let's talk about some Marvel movies.
What else is there?
You wanted to talk about a DC topic, and I'm, after seeing Suicide Squad, I'm 100% out. I had a thought, is Suicide Squad worse than the other Margot Robbie and Will Smith collaboration, Focus?
I didn't even see Focus, so maybe.
They're neck and neck.
Okay.
They're neck and neck. It was bad. I just had that thought randomly today.
Shower thoughts. Because
that's the kind of things I think about.
Hashtag shower thoughts.
Hashtag shower thoughts, definitely. So two of the Warriors 3 were spotted on the Thor Ragnarok set. This is interesting because people are getting excited about it. But I thought that things do not go well for the Warriors in Ragnarok, so I don't know how excited we should be about this.
I think it goes back to our conversation when we first learned that they, well, when we first thought that we weren't going to be in the film. I think it's good. I think it's, I don't know that they'll go that route simply because those actors are really beloved at this point, especially by the rabid Marvel fans. You know, Jamie Alexander is exalted and nerds love some Zachary Levi. So I think you don't.
Yeah, Zachary Levi is always, like, Zachary Levi hasn't been in Chuck for what, 7 years?
Yeah.
And he's been, like, he's revered at Comic-Con for some reason, still to this day. I don't know why, because I love Chuck as much as the next nerd, but it's confusing to me.
Well, he has his Nerd HQ thing going on that's kind of like a forum for nerds, and they put on some panels at Comic-Con and get some good people going. So yeah, that's, but I mean, he's a nerd's nerd. Like, he's in nerdy stuff, but he's also a nerd. It's kind of like Vin Diesel, only less outwardly nerdy and obviously smaller. Although he might probably taller.
He's
than
probably
Vin
taller.
Diesel.
I'm gonna put a lot of money on taller.
Yeah, well, because Vin Diesel is what, 4 feet tall?
He's roughly Simone Biles' height.
If he could only flip, only he could flip. If you can tell, we're in the middle of the Summer Olympics in 2016. No, but I think for me, even if it's just a quick shot at the beginning, give me some Warriors 3, because Jamie Alexander and Zachary Levi have already kind of done that coy denial that they're going to film a little bit. I think Zachary Levi said something about a couple of days filming, so it may be just a quick shot. It may even be, and I hope it's not, but like a vision of like, here's what's going to happen. All your friends are going to die. You have to stop this. So I don't know what they're going to do with it, but in my book, the chemistry between those characters and the chemistry between Thor and the Warriors and each other, I love it. I think Jamie Alexander is as much a match for Chris Hemsworth, his charisma on camera, as anybody, and it's hard to match somebody as charismatic as Chris Hemsworth, to be completely honest with you. So I think having them, even in the smallest of roles, for me is a win for that film.
So the next little piece of Marvel news is about Captain Marvel, which is something that I am pretty excited about. There's a rumor out there that they are going to either change or perhaps even skip entirely the origin story in the upcoming standalone Captain Marvel film. So I guess the place to start is, do you know, can you tell us a little bit about the origin of Captain Marvel?
She's kind of half Kree, half human. So that's really where most of her powers come from, is this perfect alien hybrid situation they have. As far as her becoming Captain Marvel, it's very Green Lantern, where the old Captain Marvel dies and bestows her as the only worthy one. She was Miss Marvel for a while. But I think this harkens back to Feige's comments from before Civil War, where we're just going to stop assuming people haven't seen these movies and stop assuming people don't know where superheroes come from. Like, we don't have to tell why they get their powers, because we live in a world where these are not just the top grossing summer movies, but they're some of the best reviewed movies of the year. I mean, Civil War may go down as one of the best reviewed movies of the year if you look at the right things. So I think we're living in, and I hate verbiage like this, but we're kind of living in a post-superhero movie world where they're not superhero movies. They're movies that happen to have superheroes in them. So I think that's the bigger part of this news. Like, I can take it or leave it. If you give me Carol Danvers' backstory, nobody really knows it, so I think it's fine to do it. But I think if you can tell a good story, like, I honestly imagine seeing her fly in Infinity War, and we just, okay, here's another superpowered person. And then in her movie, they give a little bit of, you know, you kind of just hand wave it off. You tell a little bit about her story. Maybe she's on the island with the, or not the island, but the planet with the Nova Corps. And they talk about, oh yeah, she's part Kree. Or they do like a scan of her or something and shows her physiology. And then we're good to go. Like, I don't think we need to belabor audiences with origin stories anymore, because we're not at that point. I think you could make that argument in the other way for Doctor Strange, but that's just such a weird concept that you kind of have to ease people into it. You can't just throw in astral projection out of nowhere. So I think for something like this, where she's superhuman strength and invulnerable, like, people are, that's old hat at this point.
Yeah, that was actually Doctor Strange, exactly what I was going to bring up, is I think that Civil War kind of showed us that we, that we can be past origin stories with Spider-Man. But then again, Spider-Man's a much more well-known character to the general public than Captain Marvel. So, but that doesn't mean you need to devote 40 minutes of a movie to doing the backstory. Like you said, you can wink and nod and you can get your way through it, especially with a character that's a superhero. I mean, like, she's very clearly a superhero. I think your point about Doctor Strange is important. There's going to be a lot of backstory in that movie, but I think there has to be, simply because he's not the superhero we know, right? He's not a random Superman clone that we know and have seen before, right? Yeah. So I think that there is some credence to what you say, but I like this idea that they're learning, at least Marvel's learning, we'll see, that the backstory is not as important as. Well, I say that, I mean, even one of the best things about Batman versus Superman, which it's not hard to be one of the best things about that movie, but one of the best things about that movie was they didn't belabor who Wonder Woman was.
Nope.
They didn't at all. Like, she was just this woman that showed up a couple times. He found a file on her, and then she shows up and she's fighting Doomsday. For some reason, I couldn't get that out. Fighting Doomsday. So maybe they got the idea too. Although I don't trust anything that's ever happened or ever has happened in DC or will happen in DC in the future. So we'll see how it happens. But I do like this. The last bit of news I'm not so happy about. I know. I saw your look. You told me before you were going to hot take. I should have told you I'm a hot take.
Uh-oh.
This is H-A-W-T take.
Wow.
Right here. Kyle Chandler, it seems like, is the favorite to play Cable in Deadpool 2.
They might actually call it Deadpool 2.
That'd actually be hilarious. I should send that in.
You should.
And I'm not so happy about it. I'm not happy about it for two reasons. First reason, the article you sent me about this called him Bloodline star Kyle Chandler.
Well, yeah.
And I take offense to that because that's certainly not who he is.
No.
He is Friday Night Light star.
Oh, I thought Kyle you were going to say early Chandler. Edition.
That'd have been the joke, right?
Yeah, that would have been the joke.
That show's fantastic.
Come
on. If you don't like early edition, we don't even need to talk.
Get out of here.
But early edition. That's the first reason. Second thing is, I love him. Obviously, I love him, right? I love him as much as any guy in his early 30s that watched Friday Night Lights, because every guy in his early 30s watched Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
I get it, okay? Love him. He's not Cable. He has a baby face. He's like, he's not jacked. I mean, I guess he could. We saw what Commissioner Gordon was doing. What's his name?
Oh my god!
From Portal 2. What's his name?
Oh my gosh! Why?
JJ.
He's not J. Jonah Jameson anymore. What is it? You keep talking. I'm gonna Google.
Anyway, we saw what happened to him in Old Man Veins. So, like, I guess he could get jacked up if he wanted to, but yeah, he doesn't look. When I think about Cable, I do not think of Kyle Chandler, and I'd much rather see Ron Perlman play him than Kyle Chandler, and I'm not very happy about this.
J.K. Simmons,
thank you.
It's not fair to have someone with initials as their first name playing someone with an initial as their first name, because it just gets too confusing, and I do that thing in my head where I'm like, no, that's not it, that can't be right. So yeah, J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson, super jacked.
Now I got to find out the character you played in Portal. All of these names are confusing me.
Okay, so back to the topic, though. I will agree he's not Ron Perlman, who is the perfect casting for Cable. But again, I think the care that they showed with Deadpool, the initial the original Deadpool, makes me trust that they know what they're doing, because they did it so well and they showed such reverence for the character. Kyle Chandler is such a strong actor. I think he could pull off a lot more than we give him credit for. But I think you're absolutely right. He doesn't look weathered and grizzly. But there's a lot that they can do with makeup and prosthetics. I would love to see what they could do there. I mean, Ron Perlman for Cable is going to be the hashtag forever. And I think we'll sit in the theater and wonder what could have happened if they got Ron Perlman. But I think there's no sense in arguing against Kyle Chandler in my book, because I love Kyle Chandler, and I think the guy can carry whatever you want. I think him and Ryan Reynolds will probably have a handsome off at some point, which is unfair for the rest of us that those two men are on. Just put them both in masks. Make them wear masks for the rest of their lives and not have to fuss with us normal people. But again, Kyle Chandler's fantastic. I love him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a matter of fit. Like, Ryan Reynolds is fantastic, to your point, but if he was playing Thor, it wouldn't make sense. He's not Thor. Like, yeah. He's not that kind of physique. That's not who he is. So, like, to say that you love him is different. Now, Ryan Reynolds is Iron Man, now that's something I could get behind.
I can get behind that.
But what I'm saying is that I think fit matters, and I don't think that's a good fit. Mm-hmm. At all. And no matter how good he is, and I'm not disputing how good he is, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think fit matters, and I'm worried about it. But actually, Kyle Chandler is a good segue.
Yes.
We're not talking about TV shows, but that'd be high on the list.
It would be high. It'd be top one for me.
I don't know, top one with this 30 for 30 count.
I see, that's a series of films.
Oh, it's tricky. Tricky. So our main topic is about sports movies. We're going to have a draft about the best sports movies. But before we get into that, I guess we should talk about some of our backgrounds. I am currently, I guess I would be classified as a sports writer. I'm not sure. I write about American foosball, specifically fake American foosball, or as I call it, Dungeons and Dragons for jocks. You used to write about sports at some point in time in your early career. Yep. You wrote about high school football and the like, right?
I did high school football and Oklahoma State Cowboys collegiate athletics were my beats. Yeah. So that was fun. I mean, I got to see Brandon Whedon, who's pretty awesome. I love me some Brandon Whedon.
That's the first time anybody's got to see Brandon Whedon, as if it was some accomplishment.
Dude was a monster at OSU. Granted, he was 10 years older than everybody
was
playing against.
He was 37 years old. he was as old as Chris Winkie.
That's the first Chris Winkie reference that has been made on this side of 2020. I almost said 2010, but like 2005 seems more fair.
And we're going to get ourselves a Clint Trickett here later. So
we will get ourselves a Clint Trickett later.
We are in it.
We are deep.
So it's going to have a sports movie draft. But before we do that, I think we should discuss what is and what is not a sports movie. And I'm guessing this is where your fire emoji take is coming, correct?
This is my hottest take. So when I was in college and had a lot more time on my hands, I created like this algorithm for determining what is and is not a sports movie. We're not going to go that deep on it today.
I did not know this information, and this is the most disturbing thing you've ever told me.
It's a real quick algorithm. You basically take the number of minutes spent in the sport, number of minutes spent outside of the sport, divide it by the total runtime, and if the number of time spent in the sport divided by the total runtime is less than 50%, it is not a sports movie. I did this all to prove an ex-girlfriend wrong that Jerry Maguire is not a sports movie. Jerry Maguire is not a sports movie. It's the only reason why I came up with that.
I have lost so much respect for you.
The amount of respect you lose for me on this podcast, I'm concerned that you're going to have none left for me by the end of an episode.
To be fair, it was so high to start with. Okay. That you got a long way to go before you reach bottom.
That'll work. No, the only reason I came up with that again was to prove an ex-girlfriend wrong that Jerry Maguire is not a sports movie. So when I say I want to watch a sports movie and you suggest Jerry Maguire, you are wrong.
Now I can get behind that. Jerry Maguire is not a sports movie.
Not a sports movie.
Not a sports movie.
Not a sports movie.
Ballers is not a sports television show.
No. For me, what is the focus of the film? Is the focus of the film the sport, or is the focus of the film something else? Like Jerry Maguire, or even, and this is going to be the hottest of hot takes, the first Rocky. Is the first Rocky a sports film?
It is, yes.
Is it?
Yes, because it's about a boxer. And so, like, the thing about Rocky is that, or the thing about any boxing movie, is there's only so much of a boxing match that there can be. So, like, any boxing movie is not going to have as much boxing as you are preparing to box.
Yeah.
And most of that movie was preparing to box, which I'll classify as the sport.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair argument, because you would count like a football practice as the sport. So I think, but I think you could also argue how much screen, like, is the focus of the movie his relationship with Adrian and his own self doubt, or is it the boxing? So really, like, I own all the Rocky films. I can quote along with all the Rocky films. So save your pitchforks.
Do you know what Rocky would say to you? It's not how hard you hit. It's how hard you hit. You get back up.
Are they ever going to explain how he went from brain damage to just normal again? Are they ever going to explain that?
With that accent, with what how way he speaks, I think we're just to assume he always has brain damage.
Got it.
I think that that's just what we're to assume.
Okay, cool. Got it. So what, like, the question I put in the show notes is, like, what do you look for in a good sports movie? Like, well, what for you?
First, I want to say, for me, a sports movie has a very distinct story arc. Like, if you're talking about sports movies, that usually starts with an underdog or someone who was good at one point in time is down on the luck. Someone who's down on the luck, for whatever reason, they go through some type of adversity and they finish on top. That's a sports movie.
Yep.
If a sports movie doesn't do that, then it's kind of not a sports movie because the mm-hmm. sports movie has that very distinct plot. But what I'm looking for in a good one, I'm looking for relatable underdogs. I think that is very important. I like realistic reenactments of the sport that they mm-hmm. are supposedly participating in.
Yep.
I think that that's important. And I really want, and this is the only movie genre that I say this about, I really want over-the-top moments and relationships. Super over-the-top. Way over-the-top. Would never happen in life over the top. That's what I want in a sports movie. Just rousing moments is what I want. It's preferably narrated by Morgan Freeman. That's everything I want in a sports movie.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. The other thing is there's always a speech. I think the speech is so crucial. And it may not be your traditional speech. I'll talk about one of my non-traditional speeches here later on.
Does it involve inches?
It does not involve. That is a very traditional speech. That's just very profanity.
We take
rating.
That itch. fight for that itch.
But I think the inspirational speech and that music swelling behind him. And I was texting with one of our other friends, Mario, who the joke is he never listens to the show, so we'll never know how much we talk about him. How I was watching Last Chance U, which we'll talk about for our Don't Sleep. But like those moments that make you want to like dust off your cleats and like join an old man league, like those are the moments that I look for in a sports film.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the speeches, I was just thinking about how many speeches am I going to do tonight?
Well, since we're going three rounds, I think you're going to go at least three.
I already done two now.
You have done two. When does the timer start? Does it start when we start the draft or did it start from the start of the show?
I don't know, but I'm two in, so we'll see. We'll see. I might even do yours. We'll see.
Raymond, if you're usually two ahead of everybody in most situations. So.
Hey-o. He has a drinking problem. So the... So let's just get this draft started. We'll go three rounds, and you always start us off, so you go first.
Well, my starter is going to be ripped from the Segway, and I am going to go Friday Night Lights. I think anybody that went to high school in the 2000s and played football, especially if you were in Texas like Raymond and I were, grew up playing Texas high school football, you watch Friday Night Lights, and it just reminds you of every experience you had in high school.
There are three movies on that list, and I guarantee you we talk about the other two. One of them might not be drafted, but we talk about the other two.
I guarantee it. I know exactly what you're talking about. But Friday Night Lights for me is like the pinnacle of a high school sports movie, and a sports movie because you've got everything. You've got the underdogs. And really for me, it so beautifully even captures some of what Buzz Bissinger did before he was kind of insufferable in that book. Was just captures the heart of that town and the hope, the entire hope of Odessa, Texas is that football team. It's a dried up oil town, and the only thing people have to hang their hats on after the oil bust is the football team. You know, my one critique of this film is that it doesn't really capture as much of the racial tension as the book does, but I think you've got the speech, you've got the underdog, the undersized quarterback. You want to root for these guys. You want to be in the locker room with them. And the Be Perfect speech. We talked about the speeches already. But the Be Perfect speech, you know, what's the definition of perfection? You know, can you look across the table from your loved ones and say you gave it your all? That's perfection. You know, you got Tim McGraw giving a performance better than he's given on any stage ever or on any album ever. You know, you've got Billy Bob Thornton being Texas because Billy Bob Thornton is rather Texan at times. I can't say enough about how much I love that film. It's one of those movies that anytime it's on any network, I will sit down and watch it till the rest of it. If I'm channel surfing and I see it, I'm going to sit there. you know, the downside of this film is that it brought Garrett Hedlund into the forefront of our minds, which, I mean, people say what you want about Garrett Hedlund, and I'll say a lot of bad things about Garrett Hedlund. I loved it. I can't say enough about Friday Night Lights. And Connie Britton being the kind of the connective tissue between the movie and the TV show as the coach's wife. Like, if they did like an American Horror Story situation with this, where she's kind of the same person inhabiting different bodies, it'd be hilarious and I'd love it. And it birthed, again, the spinoff of one of my favorite TV shows of all time, the great Kyle Chandler. I cannot say enough about Friday Night Lights.
So that's a fine choice, obviously. Obviously, I have to love Friday Night Lights. But there is only one answer to the number one pick. And it's Rudy. And it's really, it's like, there's no other answer in my mind. It's the sports movie, at least to me. It's not the best movie. You would never hear me call it that. It does not have the best script. It's not the best acted movie. It just happens to be the best. Like, whenever the guys give their jerseys up, it's just perfect. Yeah. Whenever they start chanting his name, it's just perfect. Whenever he gets the sack, it's just perfect. Whenever he's carried off the field, perfect. Like, it's just perfect. That movie is great. You know, the one thing I was thinking about, I don't think there's a speech in that movie. I'm trying to think back. It's been a couple years since I've seen it. Maybe his dad gives him a speech at some point in time, but it's all heart, determination, will, grit, all the Tim Tebow characteristics, and it's just fantastic. And I think that Rudy, even though it's not even my favorite movie, I like Friday Night Lights better. I like some of the other movies I have here much better. I think it's the preeminent sports movie. If you wanted to write a script for a sports movie, it has to follow the Rudy template, I think.
Yeah, I think Rudy is the definition for me of being greater than the sum of its parts. Like, you look at everything about Rudy, and you're like, well, the script's kind of hokey. You know, Sean Astin, I'd never believe, like, even playing an undersized collegiate football player, I would never believe Sean Astin was a football player.
He's like 5'2".
Yeah, he's Lilliputian, for lack of a better term. But still, like, that is a movie that you want to stand up and applaud at the end. You know, seeing his family go nuts. It's just, it doesn't, for me, you know, I picked Friday Night Lights over it, but I don't know if it gets any better than the feeling, you know, the dun dun dun, dun 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 dun. Like, that is the story that we all want our lives to be. And so that, for me, I can't argue with your pick of Rudy. Not in the slightest bit.
So what do you got? What's next?
So my second pick, this one is going to be maybe a controversial pick. Maybe. I'm going to take you back to high school, Ray.
Oh, please tell me what it is.
Dodgeball.
Oh, I was about to be really excited because when you said take me back to high school. Yeah, I thought about Dodgeball. I have to tell you, I thought about Dodgeball. I'm not a Ben Stiller guy.
I'll allow it.
And so I didn't put it on the list, but I do think that it is a sports movie, and it has Vince Vaughn being Vince Vaughn, which I support in every way.
Yep.
Never be True Detective season 2 Vince Vaughn ever again. Just be Vince Vaughn.
Yep.
And so I support it. It's a sports movie. I'll let you have it.
Thank you. Yeah. I think for me, the thing about it, I talk about this a lot, a movie that is intentionally a send-up of all of the tropes of its genre, but it still is like, that was a good movie. I give extra credit to. But it's got everything you want in a sports movie. It's got the speech. It's actually got several speeches in it.
It's making fun of sports.
Exactly. You got the Lance Armstrong thing in the airport, which, say what you want about Lance Armstrong post the tour, but it's awesome. The Chuck Norris moment at the end. I mean, you've got Rip Torn in it. Like, how many opportunities do you have Rip Torn to play a washed-up old Irish dodgeball player?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Exactly. I think that's, like, you kind of made a good point there. Is like, it's part of the cultural vernacular. It's part of what we do as a culture. Like, dodgeball is one of the earlier movies that was like one of those super quotable movies that you're just going to throw out random quotes for as part of that heyday of like the D-bag quotes.
And it feels like it spawned like dodgeball as a thing. Like, yeah. I feel like, do you remember when Jeremiah Trotter, a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, was randomly in like a professional dodgeball league? Do you remember that?
Yeah. It had a big impact culturally. I think you're absolutely right. Again, it's for me, I think it's hilarious. I think Ben Stiller does his ridiculous over the top thing, and it plays so well when Vince Vaughn is Vince Vaughn, because Vince Vaughn is the straight man. And so I think you get that juxtaposition of Ben Stiller being this over the top ridiculous and Vince Vaughn, I like, calling it out. This is over the top and ridiculous, which is why the movie works for me. And again, it's an underdog story. They have to come from behind. It's for me, it's got legitimate heart. I absolutely love that movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's, if I was listing Ben Stiller movies, it's up near the top. It's certainly better than Zoolander, which is, I will fight Zoolander. It's not good. It's just not a good, I'm so out. That's the two movies I hate that everybody loves, Ricky Bobby and Zoolander. send your hate mail. So my second is when you said take you back to high school. This is what I thought you were talking about. And I'm going to tell you, Gerald, you're a Hall of Famer in my book.
Oh.
And that is the wonderful Remember the Titans. Came out in 2000, right in the heart of our high school days.
Yes, sir.
The year 2000. Hold on. You were in high school at that
time. I was. Yeah. I was.
So this, I will fully admit that this answer could be one because of my age. Like, I will fully admit that. But this movie came out at the perfect time for me. It's not just a story about football. It's a story about how sports can bring a community together, a story about how sports bind people together, which is something that, you know, I'm an academic really at heart. I love school more than anybody.
Yeah.
But when I hear people complain about football programs getting a lot of money spent on them, first thing I always tell them is, yeah, because football programs make a lot of money. But the second thing I tell them is that football programs mean something. Like, one of the reasons why the University of Texas became such a massive research institution, it became a global destination, is because they have name recognition. And one of the reasons they have name recognition is because of their football team. So I think that people try to downplay the value of sports, and I think that this movie showed a lot about how valuable sports can be in a community, especially a small small Virginia, but it might as well have been a Texas community, small community.
The South.
In the South, where that is important. Because, I mean, I grew up in Remember the Titans town, where the stadium had sat more people than the population of the town, and that is not an exaggeration. That is a legitimate, documented fact. So I think that plays it up. And then you just look at the cast. I mean, obviously Denzel's the best. So obviously Denzel's in there. Denzel. But they also had Avon Barksdale and Opie Winston and Chris Turk and the cheerleader and Noah Calhoun. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So, like, there were so many names in this movie. It was just great.
Did you say Opie from Sons of Anarchy?
Opie Winston, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It threw me off. I wanted to make sure you got him in there.
Anybody I missed?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, Will Patton.
I couldn't think of a funny, like, because Will Patton's a character actor, so I couldn't think of a signature character. I also had a hard time with Gosling. Who would be your Gosling signature character? I picked Noah Calhoun because I love Perry, like, McAdams loves golf. Gosling, isn't that the line?
that is pretty accurate, yes.
but yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I don't know the Gosling signature character. I'm going with Noah Calhoun.
I that feels good to me. No, I think when I was trying to pick, because I tried to go like different sports, and so when I was trying to pick a football movie, it was kind of like picking which child I wanted to choose between Friday Night Lights and Remember the Titans. Both of those films have such a huge place in my heart. I'll never forget going to see Remember the Titans and sitting in the theater and just being so moved, and then looking up and seeing my JV coach sitting, and he grabbed me by the shoulder and gave me one of those coach moments as we walk out of the theater in Universal City, Texas. So I'll never forget that. So yeah, it takes such a huge piece of real estate in my heart. And again, I think you hit on it. That's one of those things that it combines. It talks about the unifying factor of sports. And that's why I love sports, because obviously I love playing sports, but really, like, sports brings people together. Like, we're right in the middle of the Olympics and sports brings people together. Like, I remember watching the opening ceremony just a week ago and being almost like moved to tears when the refugee team came out and that whole stadium in Rio just starts like screaming and cheering for that team. And it's the same thing. And the power of sports to bring a fractured community together is the underlying heart of that film. And I absolutely love it. And again, you've got the speech, the Leave No Doubt speech is absolutely there.
You make them remember the night they played the Titans.
Is that four?
Yeah.
It's four.
I also did your Hall of Famer in my book. Does that count?
It's from the same film, so I don't know if we can. We'll do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll call it five. We'll call it an even five. All right. So again, I'm going off the beaten path, but if you have to give me one sports movie to watch for the rest of my life, this one is on the list, and that is from 1989. Major League.
Okay, fair enough.
Major stinking league. Like,
I support it. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need your support, Raymond. I need your support. But it has everything you want from a sports movie. You've got the over-the-hill player looking for one last shot. You've got the young hotshot that needs to get his stuff together. You've got kind of the grumpy coach. You've got the odds being against them. Even their owner wants them to lose. The town hates them. You've got janitor in the film as a bar patron that thinks they suck.
He's in another wonderful baseball movie like 4 years later, too.
We'll talk about that. Wesley Snipes at probably the height of his like on-screen charisma. Like, this was back before Wesley Snipes is kind of the muscle-bound meathead doing the action films. He was funny. He was engaging. Like, everybody wanted to be Willie Mays Hayes. Like, you wanted to be Willie Mays Hayes. Like, you wanted to steal all the bases and talk all the smack that you wanted because you know you can back it up. And that, like, the moment where Corbin Burnson walks over from the base and he's, I got one thing to tell you. Strike this effer out. And it's like, and you're like, is he going to punch him? Like, what's going to happen? And then back before Charlie Sheen was doing that, all the drugs, he was doing some of the drugs at that point. And Charlie Sheen delivers. And it's such a good moment. And the fans rush the field. And they have, Tom Berenger and his wife are reunited. And then you see Corbin Burnson punch Charlie Sheen. And that's the moment we all wanted to see. And I've talked about this film for probably, a minute and a half. And haven't mentioned the highlight of the film for me. And that is our president, the All-State man, Dennis Haysbert as Pedro Serrano, one of my most quoted sports figures in a film. You don't steal Jobu's rum. And he leads to the other most quoted line from a sports movie for me is, are you trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? I will throw that into any situation where someone is doubting something. Are you trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? Like, that so good. So yeah, for me, Major League is on my Mount Rushmore of sports films.
So you've left me tricky here, because I still have a lot of options on my list.
I have a couple too.
Sandlot is that's on the list.
Yep.
Obviously, because of our age.
Yeah.
And that we play ball like girls.
Yep.
Rocky, which we talked about earlier, it's an Oscar winner for crying out loud. Has to be on the list. Field of Dreams is on the list only because I wanted to force you to talk about it, but I'm not going to go that way. I'm going off board here.
Uh-oh.
You might not accept it. I think it's a sports movie.
Okay.
And it is The Wrestler.
Ooh. I didn't see that coming.
That's a good one, huh?
It is a good film. I'll accept it because I can't come up with a good enough argument against one of my favorite films of all time. I absolutely adore The Wrestler, so I can't argue against it. I mean, it's real to me, so that's all that matters.
Good pull. So I think it's a sports movie because I think it follows the sports movie arc. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why it's a sports movie. Even though your arbitrary algorithm that you created to win an argument in 2004, even though that probably doesn't fill, I think it pretty perfectly follows the arc of a sports movie. Mm-hmm. And that makes it, in my mind, a sports movie. In fact, I think it's almost a perfect template of a sports movie. If you really think about what this was, the Ram, you know, this once superstar, he's down on his luck, right? And he spent the rest of his life trying to rediscover the high that he gets inside a wrestling ring. Mm-hmm. And the sport is so important to him that even when he reconciles with his daughter at the end, he has an opportunity to reconcile with his daughter. The opportunity to step back in the ring is so important, and to find that high is so important to him that he's compelled to just go back because he has to get that moment. He has to have that moment back in his life.
Yep.
And so at the very end, he gets his moment. He gets that point that he wants. And it, yeah, he gets, to, and it.
Raymond's getting emotional.
Yeah, maybe. And it kills him, right? At least that's what we're led to believe, that it kills him. So it's one of these like crazy arcs. And it kind of like, in my mind, it's the most real sports movie because I think we see so many real athletes go through this. Mm-hmm. That once the prime is over, you know, they can't let it go. Evander Holyfield, you know, in that vein, you think about him. You think about the basketball player. You think about Michael Jordan. You think about the baseball players that just let it go on too long. Johan Santana still trying to make comebacks. Like it's one of those things that I think it's such a real sports movie about these guys. Brett Favre, just inducted in the Hall of Fame, who have been their entire life the best at what they do, and it's really hard to give that up, and it's really hard to find something in civilian life that is the same as having 90,000 people scream your name. Yeah. And it's really an impressive movie, and of course it has Marissa Tomei in it, so that's just a plus.
You're in, absolutely, yeah. And the funny thing about this discussion is that there are so many all-timers that we've left kind of off the...
Rocky won an Oscar.
Yeah, Rocky won an Oscar. I would even argue Rocky 3 is probably one of the greatest sports movies of all time. I love me some Rocky. You know, you've got the Mighty Ducks.
He dies.
He dies. Exactly. That's four. That's four.
Oh, that's four.
That's four.
Okay, I messed up. Oh, got to turn in my card now.
You're fine. But what, some others that were on my list, the Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks is a fantastic sports movie. You know...
I have a hot take.
Uh-oh.
D2 is better than Mighty Ducks.
Dagali!
No!
I will say D2 is more fun than the Mighty Ducks, but I won't say it's a better film.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I feel that's a fair argument.
That is a fair argument. The other two football movies that I always waffle on, Varsity Blues, I absolutely love.
So let's get into the guilty pleasures, because that's my guilty pleasure.
Varsity Blues.
That's the third. The trifecta. Friday Night Lights, Remember the Titans, Varsity Blues. That's the third in the trifecta.
Okay. I like it. So that's your guilty pleasure.
I can't do any of the quotes right now that I love. But at the Kiwanis Club is the greatest quote of all time.
Bingville can't see my dance. Bingville don't stand no chance. Oh man, now I feel like I should have saved Dodgeball for my guilty pleasure, so now I gotta put a legitimate movie in my guilty pleasure to make up for it. I think my guilty pleasure sports film, and this isn't really a guilty pleasure, but it's another one of those fringe ones that not everybody considers when they're talking about the greatest sports movies of all time, but Bull Durham.
Yeah, Bull Durham. I was kind of surprised you went Major League over Bull Durham, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to invite the Costner discussions. Is really what I was avoiding. Is avoiding the Costner discussions.
Why? You don't want to talk about Field of Dreams?
I will. You know what? I can't keep giving you these free lessons, Raymond. Bull Durham, Caddyshack is another one that it's not really a guilty pleasure. It's an all-timer.
Yeah.
That I absolutely adore. This is what maybe this is my guilty pleasure, and I'm going to throw it out there, and just you're going to have to be okay with it. My guilty pleasure.
Don't tell me how to live my life. I don't want your life.
Oh, this could get really, really bad, really, really fast. Guilty pleasure again. White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly acceptable. I waffle on if it's a sports movie, but I was thinking about the plot of it. I think it's a sports movie.
Yeah. I think it is too, and again, that's another like Wesley Snipes charisma movie. So maybe there's an underlying theme with some of my movies. But it's just fun, it's dumb. You know, you've got the whole Jeopardy subplot that I have. I made a reference to that the other day to like some sixth graders, and nobody got it.
Of course, obviously, they didn't.
I said I dropped a foods that end in foods that start with Q, and nobody got it. Like obviously, nobody's gonna get that. That's the most obscure reference that's ever been made. But I love it. I mean, it's Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson back kind of in their, like when their stars were rising. So I think they were acting really well. I absolutely love White Man Can't Jump.
I don't think you gave any guilty pleasures. Like,
are those not guilty pleasures?
I don't think so. I think those are just all good. Varsity Blues is kind of a guilty pleasure. I don't know anybody outside of the male 28 to 34 demographic that loves Varsity Blues. But here's a guilty pleasure. I'm gonna give you an example. Okay. The Replacements.
That is exactly
was that
what
yours?
I said. I was about to say, like when you called me out for
it. The Replacements is fantastic.
The Replacements. The Replacements and The Program were the two that I think I was going to say as my guilty, like my legitimate guilty pleasures. Now that you gunned to my head, Raymond, you took The Replacements.
The Replacements is fantastic.
The Replacements is
like, it's wonderful.
Awful and fantastic.
Orlando Jones.
Whatever happened to Orlando Jones?
I don't know. But he was in Drumline and then just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then Pam's fiance from The Office as the deaf tight end.
I never made that connection until this exact moment.
He's wonderful.
Oh my god,
Gene Hackman's great. It's great. I love that movie. Faison I love that movie
love?
So much. Huh?
Faison Love. Favreau's in it.
Favreau. Yeah, John Favreau's in it.
Oh my gosh,
it's great.
So yeah, if I would say either The Replacements or The Program, maybe. I guess we're actually talking about guilty pleasure. You got James Caan, Halle Berry, Omar Epps. One of the things I think of way too frequently in my life is Halle Berry telling Omar Epps that him using big words unnecessarily just makes him sound stupid. I think about that a lot in my life when I'm around people. It's like, that makes you just sound stupid. So Joey Lauren Adams was in the Program. I think, well, now that I've settled on actually what a guilty pleasure is, because I think I was just naming off good movies. I was just going through my list. Are any of these bad? So the Program would probably have to be my guilty pleasure.
You ready for some?
Okay.
The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Ooh.
I love The Legend of Bagger Vance. And I understand that The Legend of Bagger Vance has super racial undertones.
Yes.
I have that. And I'm uncomfortable with them. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm uncomfortable with the rape scene in Rocky. Got it. Okay. Yep. I'm uncomfortable with it and I understand it. But Will Smith and Matt Damon on screen together is perfect.
Yep.
It's just perfect. And like if that could happen more in my life, if we could get more of those two together, I'd be perfectly content with it. And it's a movie that I've always enjoyed. And then Charlize Theron is obviously fantastic. You ready for another guilty pleasure?
Okay.
I don't know if this one's guilty because I think this movie's good.
Okay.
Radio.
I have feelings about Radio that will allow it to stay in the guilty pleasure category.
When his mom dies,
oh,
waterworks every time. And I'm not talking about like single tear.
Yeah.
I'm talking about I need a tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Like that scene, Cuba Gooding Jr. should have won 7 Oscars for that scene.
Seven?
Seven.
All 7?
7.
Okay.
That scene is fantastic. I love that movie.
Okay. Another one that, again, this is probably a legitimate guilty pleasure, but it's a product of nostalgia. Space Jam.
Yeah, okay. Is Space a sports Jam's movie. Just, Bill Murray in Space Jam.
Bill Murray
is wonderful.
Larry's not white. Larry's clear.
Undefeated and untied.
Cool Runnings is another one that is probably a really
feel
bad
the
movie.
Rhythm. Feel the rhyme.
It's a really bad movie, and one of my favorite things about Cool Runnings is watching it and seeing where they took it from a rated R movie to a family movie, where the speech in the bathroom, where you know, I see pride, I see power.
I see power.
Yeah, they don't just stop at BA. There's is the Big Lebowski first of all, is bowling a sport, and then
if you can do it from a chair. It's not sport.
Well, then there are some Olympic sports that we may need to reevaluate, right?
I agree. No, we are in complete agreement about this.
Okay. One that we left off the list that I would love to talk about is, what are your feelings on Raging Bull? Is it a sports movie?
So my feelings on Raging Bull, it's a sports movie, I think.
Okay.
But the boxing is so... It just takes me out of it. I know it's great. I know it's fantastic. Came out the same year as Rocky, by the way.
It did.
But the boxing in it is so annoying and over the top. Dudes don't just stand there and get hit 50 times in a row. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, and then they don't, like, take turns with it. It isn't professional wrestling. It really, that part of it really bothers me, and it takes me out. I understand the movie's good. De Niro obviously is fantastic. I get it. Scorsese's, you know, a national treasure. I got it all. But the boxing in that movie really takes me out of it. It always has.
Yeah. I'll allow it. I think, you know, staying in boxing films, is Ali a sports movie? Because if it is, then you've got to put it in the pantheon. But again, you go back to my algorithm. Do they spend more time out of the ring than they do in the ring? I mean,
is Ali even an athlete? Like, by the time that movie's made, is Ali an athlete? Or is Ali just Ali?
Is he an icon?
Yeah, is he an icon?
But I think then you have the argument of, is he iconic without being an athlete? Are those two things inextricably tied? Because he's not an icon for civil rights if he's not a famous boxer who conscientiously objects to Vietnam. So I think you have that whole argument there.
Yeah, it's tricky with him. It's tricky with him because I think so when he died, right? Rest in peace, obviously.
Yep.
The outpouring for him was unbelievable, first of all. Unbelievable. But, so like, I guess everybody knew he was a boxer. But did people under the age of 20 think of him as a boxer? Or do they think of him as Muhammad Ali?
It's a good question.
Because that's a distinction, I think, that some people get to. Like, a Jordan's going to get there at some point. He might already be there based on Jordan crying meme. Like, but there's going to be a point where Michael Jordan's not a greatest basketball player that's ever lived. Michael Jordan's Michael Jordan. And so it's a weird question to have. Like, it's a weird point. Now, obviously Michael Jordan's not Michael Jordan without basketball, but it's such a weird kind of thing to think about. Whereas you think about someone like, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, I think, is always just going to be a football player. Like, even though Peyton Manning retired, he was great, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever lived. He has charisma. He's probably going to be in front of cameras for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, but he's never going to escape. He's just going to be a football player. Where it's something more with that, with guys like Ali and Jordan, and for a while Tiger Woods. So it's kind of a weird kind of line that they're walking, I think.
Yeah, and I think. I think the thing that puts that for Ali, and we if we're talking about his legacy, I think the thing for me that makes him transcendent is again just the people know the picture of him knocking out Sonny Liston, but nobody knows the story of him knocking out Sonny Liston. So I think that's what really maybe drives your point home of him being an icon more than he is an athlete. But again, I think if we go back to arguing whether or not the film is a sports movie, I think all of the big moments of that film are predicated in the boxing ring. I think you look at the big character moments is, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle or him fighting Joe Frazier, or, you know, it starts with him knocking out Sonny Liston. So I think, like, if you look at the big hallmark moments of that film, all of the moments where you look in the trailers, it's him training to box or him boxing. And so that's where I argue it's a sports movie.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. I just, it's, those guys are weird to me, I think. And I think that's an interesting conversation to have. But let's move on to our final segment, my favorite segment of every week, and that is Don't Sleep. And you're going to keep the theme going, and I'm going to go find something real quick to keep the theme going too. It's going to be all sports all the time.
I love it. It's like our lives. No, so my wife was gone on Saturday. She was running some errands and doing some things with her sisters. And so I had a chance. I was working on some stuff in the house. So I was just looking for something on Netflix. And Last Chance U pops up in my feed. And so if you don't know anything about Last Chance U, it is about Eastern Mississippi Community College, East Mississippi Community College, which is a junior college football factory. Outside of maybe Blinn College, it's one of the top destinations for transfers out of D1 schools that are looking to go back to a D1 school. And so it is the documentary, it's a six-part documentary series, and it picks up of the start of this past, the 2015 season. They're on a 24-game winning streak. I have won three consecutive JUCO national titles. And so we've got a hotshot transfer quarterback from Florida State. You've got a kid from running back from Florida who wants to make it big. You've got a kid from Backwoods, Mississippi, who is going to just enter the draft if he doesn't graduate from junior college at the end of the semester. And it's just such an amazing and interesting look into the football factory mentality of places like that. Because really, like, you hear it 15 times in the first episode, like, I'm just here for 6 months. I'm just here for 6 months. I'm not worried. I'm going to do just enough classwork to get a 2.5 so I can transfer and be eligible. I'm just here for 6 months. And that's the whole mentality. It's like these guys, and it really challenges the concept of amateurism in my mind. Like, are these guys amateurs? Are college athletes amateurs? We can have that argument left and right, but it's just such an interesting look that the mentality of these types of guys that football is their everything, but you've also got the guys where football is a means to an end. Like, I need to get out of Mississippi, and so I'm big and I can play football, and if I can get out of here and take my family with me, then I'm going to do it. And it's got a lot of the hallmarks of your great sports stories. You've got the comeback, you've got the underdog, you got the guy who's maybe under-talented but overperforms. It's fantastic. It's only 6 episodes on Netflix, so if you're paying for Netflix, it's got the coach I have some issues with because the coach is a little sweary.
I heard that the coach is crazy. From again, our mutual friend Mario, who does not listen to this podcast, who implored me to watch the show at soccer on Thursday night. So I heard that the coach is crazy.
This is the kind of coach that I would the best. Brian Kelly comes to mind immediately. Brian Kelly on the sidelines just cussing people out left and right. And then he like leads them in the Lord's Prayer after every after every practice, which
I have a story about that in a second.
which you know, you can say what you want about professing your faith and living it out. That's another debate that Raymond and I'll have off the air. But yeah, it's just such an interesting look at that whole mentality. I cannot recommend it enough. Again, my wife was gone for like 4 hours, and I think I spent every minute with Last Chance U on Netflix while doing some work around the house. So I would highly recommend Last Chance U on Netflix.
In that vein, my favorite football coach of all time, Coach Thacker, Bridge City Junior High, one arm. and he used to twist it because it was at the elbow. He used to twist it and put it inside your face mask and then twist it again so it gets stuck and then drag you to where you were supposed to be on the field. He was awesome. But he would say all sorts of, like, he would curse up a storm every practice. Summerlin bleep this, Summerlin bleep that. Mostly me, obviously. And
you have that effect on people.
I do. And then he would, Sunday mornings at Community Christian Church in Orange, Texas, he would sit in front of me and sing to the Lord. And it made me happy every week. I love that man. I think he retired, but he was fantastic. Just fantastic. So I had a different one. I'll talk about it next week. But this one is going to be more in the same vein, and it is about the 30 for 30s, which obviously isn't Don't Sleep. Everybody knows about 30 for 30s, but if you don't, go and watch all of them. All of them are great. The U is great. 979 is fantastic. The Best That Never Was is fantastic. There are lots of fantastic ones. My favorite of all time, and I don't know how popular this one was, but it's Ghost of Old Miss. By a director, Fritz Mitchell, I believe is his name, but who it was really by is the greatest sports journalist that is living today, and that is Wright Thompson, who also narrates it and I believe wrote most of it. And it is absolutely fantastic. It takes us through the 1962 Old Miss football team and what they did and all of the racial civil rights events that were happening around this football team. The University of Memphis, it integrated in fall of 62, and the school was under order and protection of the federal government. Old Miss in that same year had their only perfect season in school history. It was a firestorm. It was almost the plot of Remember the Titans. It's crazy. It was just it's Wright Thompson, so it was just fantastic. Everything about that documentary, if you only want to ever watch one sports documentary, and by the way, it's not really a sports documentary. That's what makes 30 for 30s great. My wife loves them and she cares nothing about sports except every 2 years when the Olympics come on. So I think that if you're going to just watch one of these, you've never seen a 30 for 30, Ghosts of Old Miss, that is the one. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I Ghosts of Old Miss is fantastic. It makes you like, that was only 60 years ago. Like that, it's nuts to think about stuff like that when you watch Ghosts of Old Miss or things like that, where it's like,
it was only 54 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to make it sound better.
54, 62 is the year. Sorry, Mom. My mom was born. That's incredible.
Yep.
Like that's incredible.
Yep.
That was what was happening.
Yeah.
The year that my mother was born. It's just unfathomable that's how it was ago. And by the way, the reason why that stuff is, I don't know, still important, and maybe we should still talk about it, and you shouldn't just yell at people whenever they try to talk about racism. I don't know. Hot take.
We may just have to leave that one there. I'll take that call off air, Raymond. I'll take that call off air.
You didn't want to dive into my Facebook posts?
Raymond's Facebook. It's a place. It is a place.
I feel like I'm doing the Lord's work, first of all.
I've got nothing for you, Ray. I've got nothing for you on that one.
I just need you to support me.
Raymond, you always have my support.
I do not believe that is accurate.
60% of the time, you have my support.
60% of the time, you always have my support.
Yeah. 60% of the time, it works every time.
So that's it for us. I love this episode. I hope you guys did too. If you did like the episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, review. Follow us on Twitter at Two Woke Nerds. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at RM Summerlin. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at GH Goodridge. And until next time, stay woke.
Gotta stay woke. We'll be right back.